Good morning to you all. I would like to say at first some things about my testimony, because I believe that this is our identity in Christ. It's the common thing that unites us. I was born in Australia, in Melbourne, by Greek parents, and came back to Greece when I was 8 years old. I was raised up in a typical Orthodox Christian family, and the only thing that I got from that was that I had a fear of God inside me. When I was 16, my father died suddenly by a heart attack. And that was a great shock for all the family, because he was only 48 years old. And for me, that was the beginning of a searching. What happens after death? Is there really a heaven and a hell? Is there really a God? Where is my father? How can I go near him if he's in heaven? And then I had all these questions, all these question marks, and was trying to find answers. Nobody could really answer me. Everybody had his own opinion. And you know, people in the north and the east, they have many, many opinions. And after that, I was speaking with several friends and teenagers of my age. And one day I saw a friend of mine reading a Bible. I was very much surprised, because she was the kind of a person that would read anything of literature, poems, history, anything. And it was the first time I saw her with a Bible. And she told me, and she was also, we went somewhere and she was whispering some Christian songs. I really liked them because it was modern music. And also the Bible that she, the gospel that she was reading was in a modern language. Because, you know, in the Orthodox Church, everything is in the language of the New Testament, which is almost the ancient Greek language. And you can't really understand it unless you are taught it in school. So, as she was singing, and she was, and we went for vacations together, and she had her Bible, we started talking. She didn't know a lot of things, because she was a very new believer at that time. But she told me, if you want, you can come with me in the fellowship I'm going to. So, when we came back, I went to the fellowship, and I was very, very much surprised, and I was really lucky, because at that time there was a group of YWAM young people who were in our city, in Thessaloniki, and they were giving their testimonies. They were sitting all around, and they were giving their testimonies. They were playing with guitars, and I was amazed. I had never heard young people speaking about a God who is alive. And about Jesus, because in my mind, Jesus and God was the same thing. I couldn't really understand who was who. And also, I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. So they were giving their testimonies and they were talking. And I really felt that all those words were going inside my heart and were answering all the questions I had. So from that time on, I started attending this fellowship. There were Bible studies, and also at that time, Dimitris, who is now my husband, he was our teacher, and he was discipling us. I mean, the people who want to believe to Jesus, he was doing lessons from the Bible. And when I attended those lessons, I really believe that that was the period that I got born again. I mean, and that's, you know, what that my favorite verse is, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I really believe that listening to the word of God, I got saved. And because I was touched in that way, I wanted to help other people as well. So Dimitris and that Christian group that we were going to always encouraged us to find our gifts, because God gives us the gifts of the Spirit. And He wants us to serve. and to help for the kingdom of God on earth, to increase the kingdom of God in earth. So I was praying for my gift after a while, and I remembered that God spoke to me from Timothy, and everything he was saying to Timothy, I felt he was saying it to me. And from that time on, I understood that I was converted, let's say, I was enlightened by discipleship, and this is what I want to do for other people. And a verse that stuck in my mind was, freely you received, freely give. From that time on, and after we got married with Dimitris, I had to leave my job. I was a physical therapist working with cerebral palsy children in a hospital, and because we couldn't have both our jobs and both the ministry, we had no pastors, we had to pastor the people and to counsel them and to disciple them and so on. And so we started working together in the ministry, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for your invitation, and thank you for trusting us. And although I don't know you, it's the first time for me to be here, I really feel that we are connected. I feel the same spirit, I feel your hospitality and the simpleness in God. So today, as our main theme is the mindset of Jesus, and they asked me to speak about that in women, from these decades I have in Christ, I realized that there are some strong characteristics that women have, and God can use them in His while we are ministering or while we are in the family, in God's family. And also, we as women have some weaknesses. But when we heal these weaknesses, or when we overcome these weaknesses, these can be also our strong point, that God can use them to arise us to another level and give and trust us with more gifts and more opportunities. I think you all have this leaflet in front of you, which is a summary of what I'm going to share with you. I say at the beginning that women have three main characteristics, three, let's say, strong points. One is compassion for human beings. And that's why we can see women often involved in charity work, in charity ministry. The verse I have here from Acts is, I believe that all of you remember, in Acts, Dorcas. And it says that after she died, all the widows crowded around Peter, when Peter went there, and they were crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. You see, this woman saw the needs of the people around her, and she wanted to meet those needs. And of course there are other verses as well, we won't have the time to go through them. And then the second, a second strong point, is that women have a servant attitude. I believe that God has provided this for us because women are house keepers. I mean, in their house, they are the masters, let's say. And I don't say that, Timothy says that. And they had a servant spirit, a servant attitude. I mean, do you remember the women when Jesus was on earth? They were always near him. They were meeting his needs. They were going with him. And till the end at the cross, they were there for him. Although the men were afraid and they were closed inside their homes or somewhere else, women still stayed near him. I would just like to remind you that it says that standing close to Jesus in John 19:25, standing close to Jesus, to Jesus' cross, were some women that had followed Jesus and helped him. Many other women were also there who had come to Jerusalem with him. And also you remember that women were the ones that went to the tomb. They were the first that witnessed that the tomb was empty. They were the first that saw the angels. They were the first that saw Jesus alive, I mean Mary Magdalene. And after that, for me, that's really an honor that Jesus told her, go and tell your brothers that I'm alive and I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my Lord and your Lord. You can find that in John 20. John 20, like several verses there. And so that's why I believe that because women have a serving attitude, they are used by God and they are inspired to be deacons in the church. I mean, to help with the coffee, with the cleaning, with the, and God really honors that. We don't have to feel inferior because we are doing practical jobs. But it's really an honor to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. You remember that Jesus himself washed the feet of his disciple. So, humbling ourselves, God is the one who raises us. And then, the third point is that women are spiritually sensitive. And I believe that they are open to the spirit world. They can be used by God in prayer and intercession, and that's why we can see in prayer groups many more women than men. One of the things that touched my heart was that you remember Elijah in the Old Testament. He was the one who prayed for rain to stop and then rain to come. God used him in this way. And do you remember that when he was praying for rain to come, he went on the mountain, he sat down, he put his head inside his legs, and he was praying there. And all the commentaries say that this was the position of giving birth to a child. And God's promises need to be believed, to be carried out, and to be given birth. And we give them birth by believing and praying. So women are used also in this area. But women are still human beings. They have flesh and they have weaknesses as well. I don't really know about all you people in the north, although we lived in UK for a year and we are visiting often. But I believe that human nature is the same anywhere, because you remember that Jesus said that he didn't really, people followed him, and he said that he didn't really trust them because he knew what was in the heart of a man. So, he also knows what's in the heart of a woman. The only thing is that different temperament, they express it in a different way. I mean, we people in the south and the east, we speak a lot. And we speak loudly, and we can very easily have differences and conflicts. I think that you people in the north, you are more quiet, but maybe you keep things inside you. And that needs also God's healing on us in order to be used by him. So, three weaknesses. One is vulnerability. Women are easily hurt, and that's why they feel bitterness inside them. And if you keep that bitterness, that produces wounds inside you, and that influences your reactions and the way you live and the way you contact others. The second thing is that we easily feel rejection. Especially we feel low self-esteem. And we need people around us to accept us and to recognize us and to honor us. When we don't have that, we also feel hurt. And sometimes we are close to ourselves and we withdraw, we go back. And instead of being useful, we say, okay, I won't touch anybody, nobody touches me. So we feel we are okay. But that's not what Christian life is all about. And you can understand that in your own families. Would you like a child to be close to itself, not communicate with you, not to give and not to take? I believe not. We all have to have relationships and healthy relationships with each other. So, I have some verses here about rejection. And also the third point is competition. I think that women are a lot of competitive. Maybe men are competitive in their jobs, but women have competition inside the groups, let's say, different kinds of clubs and the church. And we can see that also in our homes. We want the best. We want to have what other people have, what other women have, and sometimes better than that. And also, in the family of Christ, we often compare what others are doing and what I'm doing, if they are appreciated more than us. I would like to read to you Philippians 4, 2-3. Just a moment, please. It says, Evodia and Syntyche, please, I beg you, try to agree as sisters in the Lord. I want you, he says to the brother, to help them, for they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel. So these women were working and ministering for God, but still they had differences, and they were quarreling for several things. So that's a thing we have to be careful of. And also, while I was preparing this message, there was something that was stuck in my eyes and in my heart. And I would also like to read it to you. Do you remember Mary, when Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb? It says in John 20, 11-16, that Mary stood crying outside the tomb. Still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb, saw two angels there, that asked her, woman, why are you crying? What does that mean? For me, it's when we lose something, when we think that something was ours and now it's taken from us. We cannot understand why. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's something that we serve the Lord with. And we cry maybe inside of us. We mourn for that. Why is it taken from us? Why, God? Why? I did this. Why did that happen to me? And you see, Mary, who really loved Jesus, she was crying because she lost her Lord. Jesus had warned them. He even predicted what would happen to him. But she didn't understand, and she was crying. You know, I was very much amazed that even when she saw the angels, and that was a supernatural appearance to her, she still was crying. And the angel says, why are you crying? And she said, they got my Lord. They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. Still, she was trying to get back Jesus alive. And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. You know, while I was preparing the message, I thought, how many times have I cried for things that I thought I lost, and Jesus was next to me. The only thing I had to do was to sweep my eyes and turn and look, because Jesus had something new to give to me. He told me once, keep your hand open. I'm the one who took something. I'm the one who will place something else in it. So sensitivity sometimes is selfishness. And we have to be careful, because the thing that we think is good may hurt us in such a way, then we keep on mourning and we are not useful to the new thing that God has to do in our lives. So Jesus said to her, Mary, and when she heard her name, then she turned towards him and said, Teacher, Rabuni. And he told them, go to my disciples and tell them that I am alive. So these were the three points I just wanted to mention. You have the copies, so you can study them at home, pray on them, and see in which place you feel strong and in which place you feel weak, and ask for God's healing. But one of the main things that women are very vulnerable to is being hurt, and especially by words. They also hurt others with their words. I don't know, I really don't know about you. I feel that you are more sensitive and more wise than us in the South. Because we in the South, we are a bit aggressive, you know, and we are overreacting over things, and then we feel sorry for that, and there's a whole cycle that you have to go through in order to restore things. If you have Bibles with you, or if it's going to be on the board, I would like us to read a chapter that God spoke and healed me in Acts. It's Acts 28. In fact, it's an event. But from this event, I was taught some very useful lessons. So, in Acts 28, we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Maybe you are asking yourselves, what does this text has to say to us? It's just a fact. It's just an event that happened. But from this event, I believe that we can understand and we can realize a lot of things for our lives. And you know, that's the wisdom of the Bible, that beside the written word, there is the Spirit. And the Spirit has to teach us spiritual lessons. So, you remember that at the end of the Acts, we have all that journey inside the sea with so many troubles for Paul while he was going to Rome in order to witness there and also to die there. There was a shipwreck and everything had finished. But in God's providence, the shipwreck happened near the shore. So they came to the shore, but you can understand how they were. They were wrecked. They didn't have anything. Everything was lost. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives, especially before we came to Jesus. And we people that do not come from Christian families, we had many shipwrecks in the world. And we come to a shore. And then, when we go there, we need people to meet our needs. So, it says that when they were safely ashore, this island was called Malta, and the natives were very friendly, and they started to come and bring things to them. So, in this, let's say, some parallels, we can see that they were safely ashore. So we feel safe in church. We feel safe in God's family after our shipwreck, after the troubles we have in the world. And then the natives were friendly. This is God's provision, the Lord's provisions to our needs. People brought things. They covered their needs. And that's what we ought to do to people that come to the church. They have needs, and we must be there for them. And after that, it says, and this is, you know, the things that we say, why again? It says that it started to rain and was cold. So, troubles never end. Even when we are in the house of God, even when we are children of God, even when we are in the church and in the community, there are still problems going on in our lives. But now we are safe, and now we are not alone. First, we have a Father who provides for us, and then the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church, he has hands, he has legs, he has people that really help us and meet our needs. So one of those people was Paul, and it says that they had to build a fire, and Paul, in verse 3 to 5, gathering up a bundle of sticks and putting them on the fire, was bitten by a snake. The snake came out of the fire on account of the heat, and it fastened itself on his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire without being harmed at all. And this is when we come to Christian ministry. Do you feel that it was fair? Why Paul himself came out of this shipwreck? He still was going to help his other fellow men. He was gathering some sticks, some branches, in order to set a fire. And from the heat of the fire, there comes a snake. And this snake bites him. And you know, the natives, when they saw that, they said, well, this man has to be very sinful. Because even if he was saved by the shipwreck, God still wants to kill him. There's a snake with poison on his hand. It's around his hand. And they were waiting for him to fall down dead. Isn't this what sometimes happens in our lives? And in our ministry, from friends, sometimes even from family. While we are trying to serve their needs, there are some bites in our lives which hurt us. And we say, why? Why? I had good intentions. I was serving the Lord. Why? Why shouldn't they understand? But can't you see that it says, on account of the heat? That means when things are pressured, when they are stressed, when sometimes because of the pressure we get angry and we make mistakes. That's when the snake came out of the heat and it bit him. So, what would we do if we had such a thing? I would speak for myself. I would cry. I would go around showing my wound. And I was saying, please help me, help me, somebody help me. And after they would help me, I would still be in fear, if that swallows or the poison has gone inside me and maybe I will be sick or I will be dead. And after a while, if I'm okay, I will still go and show my wounds to others and say, this is what I have because of you. While it was one. And why didn't other people come to help? Why? I was in the same ship you were in. Why didn't you come and help as well? I don't know if that rings a bell, but it does to me. So, when they saw that nothing happened to Paul, then they started saying the opposite thing. That he is God. He must have some divine characteristics, some divine gifts. You see how God introduces us to other people in his way. But what did Paul do? He didn't cry. He didn't show his wound. He didn't ask help for anybody. He trusted his Lord. The same Lord that took him out of the shipwreck. The same Lord who said that nothing will happen to the people on the ship. And that's what happened. And to him, because God wanted him to go to Rome and witness for him, he just threw it in the fire. He didn't throw it down so that it would go and bite someone else. He threw it in the fire. He threw it in the fire. Because these things have to be finished once and for all. And now, you can tell to me, today, nowadays, we don't have snakes
At least we don't have snakes in the Western world where we live. We are safe from that, so nothing like that will happen to us. And this is when God spoke to me and he took me to James. You know that we interpret the scriptures by scriptures. That's the safe way to do it, and not by our own opinions and translations and theology. So, can we have a part from James? In James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says something very important. There's another kind of poison, and this poison comes out of our mouths. It says that that man is able to tame and has tamed all other creatures and wild animals, but no man has ever been able to tame the tongue. It is evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. That's very strong, I think. In the ancient Greek, it says the wild animal is the word therion. And therion is the word beast, which is used in Apocalypse and, you know, about the Antichrist. So, also in Acts, it says the same thing, that out of the fire came a therion, which is a beast. So it's the same word. It's the wild animal. It's the snake. And we know the devil is the ancient snake. And from the beginning, he's the one who wants to tempt people, to tempt, to accuse, and to kill. Mm-hmm. And to steal blessings for us, from us. So, tongue is a very little part of our body, but still it has such a power that with a little poison, it can poison the whole body. And that's why we have to be careful of what comes out of our mouth. And sometimes it won't even come out of our mouth. It will just be in our hand, in our heads, in our minds. We believe it, though we don't express it always. But still we think that way. And it's the same. So, what James says is something very strange. Because he says that we use our tongue to give thanks to the Lord and to the Father, but also we use it to curse our fellow men who are created in the likeness of God. Words of thanksgiving and cursing pour out from the same mouth. You know, my beloved, that this cannot happen with the spring of water. If there is a spring, it will have fresh water or dirty water. It will have sweet water or sour water. Bitter water. But still, from the spring of our mouth, we can bless and we can curse. And somebody will say, well, I don't curse anybody. Cursing is the opposite of blessing. Blessing, Dimitri said yesterday, it's evlogia in the text of the on the ancient Greek New Testament, which means F, good, and logos, which is word, good words. Cursing is the opposite, bad words. And this is so simple. I think no one can say that I've never said anything bad for anyone in the world. It's easy for us to think badly and to express ourselves in a bad way. Even with our beloved ones, even in our own families. Much more with our fellow sisters and our fellow citizens, our colleagues at work, and so on. So, what can we do? I mean, tongue can bite, and it can produce wounds. These wounds have to be healed. What did Paul do? He just put the snake in the fire and once of all got rid of it. We have to do something similar. Like what? What is the way for our healing, for the healing of our hearts? There is a verse in Ecclesiastes 7, 21 to 23. I was very much surprised when I read it, and I would read it to you. It says, Don't pay any attention to what has been told against you. Because at the same time, you too have spoken against others. It's very good, it's very right, it's the right thing, it's the perfect thing, not to speak against, and let's say not to bite anyone, and not to be beaten by anyone. But human nature is like that. We have a spring of good and bad things inside us. And they come out, and especially they come out under pressure.